ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Texts 55 and 56. Since text 56 is on the board, I'll just read the verse and the translation of 55 and we'll chant together text 56.
Pratyakhyato virinchena Vishnu chakropatapita Durvasa sharanam yatha sharvam kailasavasinam.
When Durvas, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Sudarshan Chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on his planet known as Kailash. Text 56.
Vayam natata prabhavam bhumni yasmin parenya piyaja jiva kosha bhavanti kale na bhavanti hidrisha sahasrasho yatra vayam brahmama.
Lord Shiva said, "My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. There are innumerable universes in the material world, and there are innumerable Lord Brahmas, Lord Shivas, and other demigods. All of them rotate within this material world under the supreme direction of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Durvas, for Lord Shiva also was under the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra, sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead."
Hare Krishna. So once again, by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, I find myself sitting on the wrong side of the Vyasasana. So I want to just beg for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I'm able to do the service whatever is expected of me and then go back to the right side of the Vyasasana as soon as possible.
So there's a very interesting episode now. Durvas Muni, he's feeling the heat. He's really feeling the heat now. Durvas Muni, we can just discuss for a few minutes about the background, about what is happening so far. Durvas Muni, he is the expansion of Lord Shiva. Okay, direct expansion. Very interesting, actually. He's approaching Lord Shiva here and Lord Shiva is rejecting him. His expansion is approaching and, Shiva himself is rejecting. Just in the today morning, our Shubhvilas Prabhu was just, revealing this point to me. But at the same time, we have to be very careful when we discuss, about Durvas Muni, because I was thinking, when he was taking bath in the Yamuna, he was able to understand what Ambarish Maharaj was up to. So similarly, on the Vyasasana, if he, blaspheme him or something like that, he'll be able to know that also. So we have to be very, very careful about, how we discuss this particular pastime, because we don't have the power of Ambarish Maharaj to retaliate his anger. So anyway, just because he is the expansion of Lord Shiva, the austerity and the power that he has is completely unbelievable, whatever that mystic power that he has. Like for example, in this wonderful book, Journey Home, we read about, a lot of these mystic yogis and, they are tapasya and different. And recently, we had the great fortune of being allowed to go to Rishikesh along with our Brahmachari trainees. And there we just met a lot of, sincere persons who were practicing, you know, spirituality. You know, basically these tapaswis and yogis, you know, who were in seclusion. And we came back feeling, you know, being very impressed with their practices. Not because, not with their philosophy. Of course, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is the highest philosophy. There is nothing beyond it. But what impressed us is that the kind of sincerity they show in applying the process that they are following. Like for example, one of the process they were explaining, we had a chance to talk to some of these sadhus, and one of their sadhana basically was, you know, these thoughts come into the mind, so their sadhana practice is to just remove those thoughts from the mind. Like another thought comes in the mind, remove it. Another thought, remove it. And just imagine, it is so difficult. We can't even imagine how difficult it is. And yet they are willing to go on alone, year after year, decade after decade, just trying to pursue that goal. So I was thinking, and compared to that, you know, our process, chanting, dancing, feasting, it is so wonderful, it is so simple. And yet, we have to do seminars to, you know, how to develop patience, how to increase enthusiasm, you know, all these things are there. Even though the process compared to what they are following is so easy. So this is why Prabhupada tells us that Krishna consciousness is so simple that we might miss it. You know, so this really like made a deep, like, you know, nice impression on my consciousness. And another thing about their eating habits, you know, we just casually asked them, like, you know, so what do you do? So immediately he just took out a root and, you know, just gave it to me. And the moment I bit into the root, you know, that tasteless, bland stuff, you know, immediately, in the core of my heart, the divine form of Chaitanya Anand Prabhu manifested. Serving prasadam, day after day, week after week, year after year. And I was thinking to myself, like, you know, what a facility we have. You know, just it's very ironic. Think about it. Okay? If we have to survive in bhakti, we have to root out our anarthas. But if they feed us roots, then we will not be able to survive in bhakti. It's very ironic. So, you know, and I was thinking how much more grateful we should be to all these wonderful devotees who are working so hard in the kitchen that, you know, I mean, I at that time at the foothills of the Himalayas, I took a vow that never again am I going to become angry on seeing Bhopla or or Turiya or Tendli. When I see them, I'm going to first worship them mentally, offer my aarti, and only then honor that prasadam. Because, you know, this is amazing what we are having here, the facilities we have to practice devotional service. So these and these people, these mystic yogis, even the people who are there on the planet, we read in the Journey Home book what kind of extraordinary powers they have. You know, Journey Home book explains. And compared to all these yogis, like all these yogis compared to Durvas Muni, are like babies who are wetting their diapers. You know, they are so, you know, so insignificant compared to the power of Durvas Muni's austerities and, you know, penances and tapasya. And when Durvas Muni gets angry, he decides to unleash the full power of his austerity and penance to destroy Ambarish Maharaj. It was not just, he didn't leave anything, he didn't keep anything back. It was like full 10, not just 10%, 20%. It was like full 100% out to destroy him. And Bhagavatam explains, how did he actually do it? He uprooted a bunch of hair. Just imagine the kind of anger. Uprooted a bunch of hair. And what is the result of this uprooting a bunch of hair? Durvas Muni was left with a spot of bald patch on his head. That's it. No other. Like Ganju Khopri. That's it. There is no other result. Not even a single hair on the eyelash of Ambarish Maharaj was disturbed. It is something like, we can just compare it to, let's say in a boxing ring or some place, this world heavyweight champion, whoever it is right now, Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson, whatever, you know, he walks across to a small five-year-old boy having a school bag, and with a full power in his, you know, strength, with all the experience that he has trained up for so many years in boxing and all his skills, he gives a tight punch to the boy. And the boy, instead of being distracted, he continues to play with his video games. So you can imagine, I mean, whatever he had to offer, he just gave it to Ambarish Maharaj. And Ambarish Maharaj was not even, you know, shaken. So you can imagine, the moment Durvas Muni saw that, he realized he's in deep trouble. Because this person whom he's facing is somebody much, much, much more beyond his mundane calculations. And therefore, he was now overwhelmed with fear. But still, Durvas Muni, he doesn't give up. Because, you know, we find in these verses, the previous verses and today's verse, how Durvas Muni is a very highly networked personality. You know, networking, like many of you may not know this, but networking is basically like, you know, you make your contacts. You make different contacts. You make contacts with the right people at the right time, at the right place, you know, doing the right thing. So that in future they can help you. Basically, it is a conception which appears in the 7th canto where Shanda and Amarka are teaching Prahlad Maharaj how to exploit your friends and destroy your enemies. So you make distinctions, understand very clearly, these guys can help me, so let me network with them. So here Durvas Muni, and nowadays the networking science has been developed to such an extent, it's like a refined science. I remember some years ago when we were working outside, our organization sent a group of us for a special training, you know, spending thousands of dollars. And one of the modules in that was how to be a good networker, how to do this networking. Because, you know, in the corporate world, this networking is considered to be very, very important to climb up the corporate ladder. So we find that how Durvas Muni here, he is also highly networked. What are his contacts? You know, Brahma, Shiva. So he said that, okay, if I'm in trouble, let me go to Lord Brahma. So, and with every step that he's taking, his confidence is evaporating. So in yesterday's extraordinary class, Damodar Prabhu explained how Lord Brahma, in a very sweet, polite, Vaishnava way, told Durvas Muni to get lost. I cannot help you. This is too serious. And today's verse we see, Lord Shiva is telling Durvas Muni in a sweet, polite, Vaishnava way, my dear son Durvas Muni, get lost. So when this happens, we can imagine what is happening to Durvas Muni. In fact, in the next verses, we'll see how Durvas Muni goes to his final contact, Lord Vishnu, and begs. In fact, there is a line which tells him, I understand I have committed an offense, but still, please help me, please save me. And therefore, we can now imagine that Durvas Muni is really tremendously deeply quaking with fear. So that's why, like, we began the class by saying, you know, the heat is on for Durvas Muni. So about this, we would like to just focus on this networking aspect or this aspect of, you know, the tendency of the conditioned soul to have contacts. Or, you know, the jiva is always dependent. So he has an option of developing his material contacts, or the jiva has the option of trying to really focus on developing spiritual contacts. If we just analyze these two aspects a little more deeply, we will find that having material contacts is not such an intelligent strategy. Too much focusing on material contacts. They are necessary for whatever, you know, for day-to-day dealings, but too much being overwhelmed by these material contacts is foolishness. Because, like the Bhagavad Gita explains, you know, the temporary results are received from temporary masters of this material world. So, the giver of the benediction, the receiver of the benedictions, and the benedictions themselves, they are all temporary. So, none of these three things has any guarantee whether it will last, you know, in future. So just being overwhelmed and just trying to be dependent on our material, you know, people or material contacts or material skills is not such an intelligent strategy. Whereas, if we try and develop our energy in developing spiritual contacts, like this verse says, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koye, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoye. Like, you know, even a moment's association with a spiritual personality can give us the highest benefit, you know, more than any other benefit of this material world. So this sadhu sangha or the spiritual contacts or the spiritual networking that we do, that should actually lead to increased enthusiasm to develop our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to render loving devotional service to His devotees, and to do whatever, increase enthusiasm to do whatever is necessary for the mission of the Lord. But sometimes, if you are not careful, in fact, if you are not careful, it will happen always, that sadhu sangha can lead to complacency instead of increased enthusiasm. Sometimes the tendency will be like, you know, oh, I am staying in, you know, such a wonderful association, so-called best temple in the world, you know, Guru Maharaj is so powerful, connected to Prabhupada, and so many facilities are there to practice devotional service, you know, so much nice prasadam we were discussing earlier, so nice, wow. So the tendency is, instead of struggling to get out of this material world, we might start to begin to enjoy all this. Just like, you know, we hear about this pastime, which is always quoted to encourage the devotees. I think this is in Australia, that Prabhupada was discussing with the devotees, and he made a statement that you have to be 100% Krishna conscious to go back home, back to Godhead. And all the devotees became glum. They were like, Prabhupada, 100%, not possible. Then we know how then Prabhupada reduced it to 90%. Okay, 90% Krishna conscious. No, Prabhupada, sorry. You know, he got it down to 80%, 80, 70. Then I think finally 60% or something. He stopped at 60%. He just got up from his Vyasasan, started walking out of the door. And he said, okay, fine, 60%, no less. You just have to catch hold of my dhoti and I have the backdoor entrance to Golok Vrindavan. So when devotees hear this, it is very encouraging. It is a duty of the spiritual master to encourage his fallen disciples so that they do not lose hope. But when we hear this story, tendency is to become complacent. Okay, just 60% and then I just have to catch hold of the dhoti. That's it. I'm out. So let me just have whatever fun I want to have here. Let me enjoy, you know, this nice association and nice facilities without doing my best to work hard in devotional service. Let me just catch hold of the dhoti. But my dear friends, we have to remember that, you know, just we have to be really honest and introspect within ourselves, because the toughest thing for us with our kind of conditioning and our kind of, you know, haywire minds and intelligence, the toughest thing in the world will be to simply catch hold of the dhoti. Just a simple act of catching hold of the dhoti of Srila Prabhupada will be much more than we can handle if we are not really, really serious about devotional service. Because the tendency is, we have, you know, when we are living, we just have to introspect and see what we are holding on to, what we are depending on. Are we really depending on Prabhupada's mercy, or are we depending on other things, you know, other material things that our body, our mind, intelligence and other material nature provides us. Therefore, holding on to dhoti requires a personal endeavor from our side. When Krishna tells Arjun, 1866, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja, Krishna is telling Arjun, I expect you to surrender. You, my friend, you. I am not expecting your spiritual master Daumya Rishi. I'm not expecting your elder brother Yudhishthir Maharaj. I'm not expecting your chaste wife Draupadi or your very, you know, advanced mother Kunti Devi. I am expecting you to surrender to me. So similarly, when we have these spiritual contacts, exalted, we are living with exalted, unbelievably exalted people, you know, spiritual master and Prabhupada and all the advanced Vaishnavas. And when they speak and when they do their devotional service, and when they see that, you know, powerful devotional service that they are performing, our tendency will be that, you know, okay, they are surrendering so nicely. So we might feel that I am also surrendering. Just by seeing their surrender, we might superimpose their surrender onto our consciousness and feel that I am also surrendering. But the truth is far from it.
you know, it's we are so much attached to the facility and we are not really taking full advantage of this association or the Sadhu Sangha. In fact, from authoritative sources, we have heard that even Krishna cannot surrender for the conditioned soul. It is a decision that each and every one of us, each and every living entity who's come down to this material world has to take for himself. Association, Shastras and Guru can only show us a direction. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. If we have any doubts about how I should individually surrender, I have to approach the spiritual master, take his guidance, serve him, please his devotees, and understand exactly how I am supposed to surrender. No one else in the world can surrender for me. It is an individual relationship that I am having with Gopinath. So just like, you know, like this very, very, for me, even after so many years, I heard this point from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj 5 years ago. And I remember I was in the DT room doing backup. And he made this point that at the time of death, you know, when the devotees are chanting all around us, in 1 year we are hearing the holy names. And at the same moment, Maya Devi is chanting for us in the other ear. At the time of death, when I heard this, I remember like really, you know, stunned. Because we have to understand that sometimes we, you know, we attach a lot of importance to the facilities and the externals. And, you know, we say that, you know, how this devotee has left and how, you know, this devotee has left in an extremely inauspicious circumstances or auspicious circumstances. It is all completely external. Like once I saw just recently, you know, on a PAMO, there was a discussion about the, you know, the departure of, you know, this extraordinary devotee, His Grace Ayendra Prabhu. And one person was just saying, okay, somebody, can you please explain a person who was chanting so regularly, so much, 24 hours, how can I just leave in such a ghastly way or whatever, mundane sense, ghastly way. And one Prabhupada, you know, disciple just blasted, you know, said that, what is this conception about, you know, just seeing the externals? We should not be so concerned about how a person is dying. Be concerned about how the person has lived when he was there on the planet. Just see what is the kind of dedication he has shown to his spiritual master, shown to Srila Prabhupada. Just see how he's inspired all the Vaishnavas. Just see how much service, extraordinary service, incomparable service has been rendered to Prabhupada's great movement, Hare Krishna movement, and which is going to last for like eternity. Just see that instead of just judging on the externals. So similarly, we might just feel that, of course, I'm not saying that, you know, at the time of death, it is very important that we are surrounded by devotees, because again, that's a facility for us to remember Krishna. We are not at all dismissing it. But we have to understand that just because we are always in the Vaishnava Sangha, surrounded by devotees, just because a lot of devotional service is handed down to us, if we are not really, really making a serious endeavor to develop our relationship with Krishna, we can be, you know, we can be just fooling ourselves. Like another example of this death is like this Parikshit Maharaj, you know. Like same, like just like people ask Ayendra Prabhu, you know, why he left like that. Probably 5,000 years ago, somebody could have asked the question, how come Parikshit Maharaj, he's such a great devotee. Gauranga Prabhu was making this point recently. Such a great devotee. And, you know, he got the darshan of the Lord in the womb. You know. That's and connected to so many great devotees, and yet just look at the circumstances. For no fault of his, he's cursed. But we find the Lord's plan is there. The Bhagavatam is manifesting because of this curse. So of course, like, you know, we are not saying that, like, for we should have faith in our beloved Lord Krishna, that even if a person does not make any efforts, make any endeavor to, you know, practice spiritual life seriously, our Lord Krishna is so powerful that he can just, you know, give them perfection. And a case in point is the Putana pastime. Putana, she had absolutely no desires to, you know, she approached Krishna with an extremely envious nature. And the Lord just ignored that enviousness and just accepted the good thing that she had and just elevated her to the highest spiritual position, offered her the position of a nurse in Golok Vrindavan. So anybody who doubts the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to bestow spiritual perfection without endeavor, anybody who doubts this is a Pashandi, who is an atheist.
Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has the power to do it. But we should not think that the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is going to do it for us. They might do it for our friends. They might do it for other sadhus. They might do it for our family members also. But as far as I am concerned, we should always think, I need to work extremely hard to show my sincerity to the Lord. I need to work extremely hard to catch hold of Prabhupada's dhoti. There is no chance we can be 100% Krishna conscious. But I need to work extremely hard to catch hold of the dhoti of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada and other Vaishnavas can pull me up to the ultimate destination. So, you know, and this point again, when we hear about, it's so dangerous. Maya is chanting in one ear and Krishna, thank you. Krishna is chanting in the other ear. It is so dangerous because the tendency in this material world is in moments of crisis, we have a tendency to trust people with whom we have already developed relationships. It is a fact. If it's a crisis and you want to get out of the crisis, you will trust and you will follow and you will seek help from only those people from whom you have already developed a relationship. So just think about this situation. Maya is chanting in one ear and we have had a relationship with this Maya since time immemorial. It's not just a question of a few years, few weeks, decades, lifetimes, time immemorial. You know, Prabhupada says we can't even remember the, you know, when the jiva fell down to the material world. So that relationship with the, you know, the person who's chanting in the right ear is so strong, and the person who's chanting in the left ear, you know, Krishna, you know, Hare Krishna, we have the knowledge, we have, you know, like how Golok Vrindavan. Every word is a song, every step is a dance, and you know, the dust is Chintamani. All these descriptions are there, we know the Sanskrit verses, we can recite it so nicely. When people come for advice, we can tell them, we can encourage them. But have we really developed a relationship? Just imagine the strength of the relationship we have with the person who's chanting in this year, and what is the relationship we are having with the person who's chanting in this year, left year. And if at all the relationship in the left ear is weaker with the person who's chanting in the right ear, you can imagine where we are going to go, what our next destination is going to be. Even though externally everything is so nice, so auspicious, if that individual soul, like we discussed, if that individual soul is not making a personal endeavor to develop that relationship with Krishna, I think we miss the boat or we miss the bus, as I say. So that's why it is so dangerous. Therefore, this developing of this relationship with Krishna is of paramount importance. It's like we find that, you know, this verse is there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shravanadi Suddhya Chitta Kare Udai. So sometimes we find that when we are, like, you know, dealing with devotional service and, you know, we have, you know, rendering some services, we become pretty expert at that, pretty skillful. But just, it is a rule of time, somehow or the other, in due course of time, two things will happen. Either we will lose our power to perform that kind of, you know, that particular devotional service, you know, that kind of skill, or there will be someone else who is able to render that particular service in a much, much more expert way, in a much, much more skillful way, and with much more deeper devotion and more connection to Krishna. So if you are rendering any kind of devotional service without feeling that connection to Krishna, and we are just taking it as a mundane skill, it is only a matter of time before someone else comes forward to do that particular service, you know, whether it is, say, giving class, you know, kirtan, or, you know, any other kinds, book distribution, there'll always be, you know, this is the rule of the material world, always be someone else who will come. Like, it's because, why, it's a simple logic, because, you know, this movement is, you know, Rupa Goswami is handling this movement under the direction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most eager to spread this movement all over the world, so again and again, he is going to keep sending the best people, best manpower to run this movement. So whatever services are there, whatever we might think we have, like, you know, we have got skills and this and that and all, so many things, extraordinary thing. We are the dawn of this particular service. But always, eventually, a person will come who is much better than us in performing this particular service. So at that time, if we have not really connected with Krishna, I'll just explain a little later what is this connection. Based on, you know, spiritual authorities I've heard from. You know, if we have not really made that connection, then what will happen is we might become discouraged, depressed, or even envious of the person who is doing the service much better than us. Just like, you know, Prabhupada, in fact, Prabhupada said, you know, this thing, it's not like a speculation. Prabhupada said, I don't remember the real quote, he said, the grand disciples of my grand disciples are going to take over the world. You know, this is a quote that is attributed to Prabhupada. That is, you are a grand disciple and your grand disciple will take over the world. So now it feels good, but another, like, you know, underlying principle behind it is that with every passing generation, like we discuss, the quality of devotees are going to improve tremendously. In fact, I might say, like, very, very insignificant experience I have, but somehow or the other, I have been given the service of being with very, very newly joined devotees, you know, in the temple. And we can vouch for a fact, I'm not saying this is some big experience, very insignificant experience, but we can vouch for this, that with every batch, we see that the quality of the devotees joining the temple, you know, the sincerity and the dedication and the skills is increasing. Even, you know, just one year, we can, you know, just experience that. So what to speak about generations and generations who are going to come in the future. So eventually it is going to happen. If we are not really trying to develop our relationship deeply with Krishna, and if we are just taking shelter of the skills that we have, we'll have to come across situations wherein there are others who are much, much, much more beyond us skills. So, but there is one service that no other living entity in the material world or the spiritual world can do better than you or me. There is only one service that the living entity is, you know, nobody else can beat that living, you know, the living entity in that service. And that is the living entity, like we discussed that verse, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhikopinoy. This Krishna Prema that is within the heart, the service is to give this entire Krishna Prema, 100% offer your entire heart to Krishna. No one else, like we were discussing, no one else can surrender for you. No one else can give your heart to Krishna. A living entity can only give one's own heart to Krishna. But the service that can never be taken away from us is the service of giving our own hearts to Krishna. You know, so this can be in various ways, you know, through the chanting of the holy names, through the hearing of Bhagavatam, through reading, through performing devotional service. But the only thing that we can really possess, we can say is our own, and we can expect to call our own, is our ability to give our full 100% hearts, mind, intelligence and body to Krishna. No one else can give it for us. So we just have a few minutes more. And we were discussing this theme. And yesterday, the same theme about developing relationship with Krishna. Radha Dwiti Prabhu, I'm very grateful to him. I don't know whether he's sitting here. He's probably listening to this. I'm very grateful for the story that he shared with me. And it basically highlights the same principle of how we should be urgently striving to develop our relationship with Krishna. We should not be complacent about the spiritual contacts that we have. So this is from the latest diary entry of His Holiness Indradumna Swami Maharaj. Some of you may have read it, but it's an extraordinary entry. So I just want to, for my own purification, because it connects to this theme, we just want to narrate this. So Indradumna Maharaj, this entry is basically the Poland festival that he's having. And he's just visiting different, you know, different people are coming to meet him. So there, like, there are a group of, you know, small devotee children. Like, Indradumna Maharaj is, like, you know, the favorite of everybody. So the devotee children just came to him with a question. Said, Maharaj, like, do you ever cry?
So Maharaj said, what is this question? What do you mean? So said that, no, just like the Goswamis we hear, you know, Hey Radhe, Vraja Devike. You know, like, you know, they are crying for Radharani. You know, like, have you ever cried like the Goswamis for Krishna? So Maharaj said, that's a very exalted state. He said, no, no, I never cry. No, I don't do things. This is beyond my, you know, spiritual level, he humbly said. So anyway, so the children just kept quiet and started just moving around with him. So Indranath Maharaj was going from tent to tent. So this entire issue talks about how one after the other, Indradyumna Maharaj is meeting different people, and it is creating such a deep impact on him that you know he is emotionally overwhelmed. So one of the stories is like suddenly he's walking and one just lady just walks up to him, just you know shakes his hand very enthusiastically, and says that you know thank you saved my life, you know thank you for helping me. And Maharaj is like yeah thank you, welcome, you're welcome, Hare Krishna. But do I know you? So she said, actually, you don't know me personally, but what happened is, like, just a few weeks or months ago, I was clinically depressed and I was contemplating suicide very seriously. But my psychiatrist, he had come to your festival last year. So my psychiatrist said that if you want to get cured of this, you should go this year to this festival and listen to this sannyasi speak. This priest speak. And when I heard you speak, I had the conviction that there is a better world available somewhere else. There is a spiritual world out there. And I want to go there. So now I have, you know, overcome this depression because of this. And then Maharaj explains how, you know, when he heard this, he was like, you know, just recollecting the mercy of Prabhupada. How Prabhupada is, you know, saving so many people in so far off places. And when he was deeply contemplating over it, you know, a few, you know, tears just developed in his eyes. And then immediately the children said, Maharaj, you're crying. We saw you crying. Maharaj said, no, that's just like that. No, I'm not crying. I can't cry. So then there is another story about how, you know, Maharaj then met a small girls, like, you know, 9-year-old, 9, 10-year-old girls. And said, Maharaj, you know, thank you for coming back again. So Maharaj said, I mean, have you met? So they said, yeah, you know, my mother brought me to your festival first when I was 2 years old, 2.5 years old, 3 years old. And Maharaj, when I was 4 years old, you gave me a garland. And that garland I still have in my house wall right now. Maharaj, when I was 5 years old, I had broken my arm. And you so lovingly caring, you know, cared for me. And just you just signed a get well message on my cast, on my plaster. And that cast I still have in my house, even now after so many years, you know. And then another little girl said, 9-year-old, 10-year-old girl said, like, just imagine, these people are like, Poland is a Orthodox Catholic. It's not just simple Catholic. Orthodox Catholic Church is the most prominent religion there. People who have never heard of Krishna, but see the kind of affection they have developed, see the kind of relationship that they have developed with the spiritual personalities and with spiritual vibrations. So they tell Indradyumna Maharaj that, you know, I love my mother, that one of the girls was saying, I love my mother, I love my father, I love my brother, sisters, friends, everybody. But the person I love the most is you, because I have never ever received the kind of love I've received from you from anyone else. So when Maharaj again, you know, heard this, again, you know, the same thing, like just, you know, little droplets of tears formed in his eyes. Again, Maharaj, you're crying, children. We caught you crying. No, I'm not crying. Then there is another story about like how, like a couple were waiting for Maharaj, young couple was waiting for Maharaj, and they asked Maharaj to please sign the Bhagavad Gita, because they said that you had promised in your lecture that anyone who would take the Bhagavad Gita would sign the, you know, copy, you know, he would, Maharaj would sign the copy. And Maharaj signed it. And after he signed it, they said, Maharaj, sir, we are very, very grateful. We have waited for 17 years to get this particular copy. Maharaj, 17 years? What is this? So they explained the story that how, you know, when the boy was 7 years old, Maharaj and his troop of devotees had come to a town which was 50 kilometers from this place. You know, and he had gone there and he had seen all, like 7-year-old boy, we can imagine, like, you know, what can a 7-year-old boy understand philosophy and everything like that. But that thing, impression was so, so strong, and after that he never got a chance to, visit this thing. And very, very interestingly enough, his wife also, when she was 6 years old, she went to the same festival. They didn't know each other at that time. She also went to the same festival. And then, like, you know, when then both of them started, like, you know, whatever, like today's world, whatever you call it, meeting or whatever. And then when they discussed that, yes, we had, you know, gone to the same festival, that's when they really connected. And one of the things that they, you know, that they found, which was mutual, is that they found that of all the things in that particular festival, the thing that really made a deep impression on their hearts is the class of His Holiness Indradhumna Swami. Even though, just imagine, children, they didn't understand the class, what it was all about, but they could sense, they could make out that this person is genuine and he genuinely wants to give selfless love. So unknowingly, they developed that kind of relationship with such an exalted person, and they waited for 17 years, and when they realized that this festival is coming back, they decided to come back and take the book. Again, hey, Maharaj, now you're crying. No, I'm not crying. Just a few drops, that's it. Then one boy came to Maharaj and told Maharaj, I just really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because you have actually helped my sister beyond words and helped my family beyond words. So Maharaj said, you're welcome, but exactly what are you saying? So Maharaj said, that boy said that last year, I had come to the festival along with my, you know, kid sister, 16-year-old sister. And we had come to the festival, first time we came to the festival, and we were just seeing all the different, the prasadam tents, the book stall, the question answer booth, you know, the japa, the kirtan, everything, lecture. And of all things that really, really, you know, impressed us, touched us, was the kirtans. You know, the different tunes and Sri Prahlad Prabhu and, you know, yourself singing kirtan on the stage with these extraordinary music, you know, sound systems. You know, that really touched our hearts. And then when we, because like this festival happens during vacation, so that's why I was also, you know, able to go with my sister. And then like after that, after the vacations were over, I had to go to a different place to pursue my university studies. And my sister just like, she was so like, you know, rolling in, he didn't use the word ecstasy, but like so thrilled by this experience of this kirtan that forever, like during, you know, whenever she would be in the house or she would be doing, running some errands or doing something, she would constantly be chanting the holy name. Just think about it. Huh? Like again, what is the background? Never heard of Krishna, nothing. But just the touch inspired this person, this extraordinary soul, we'll find out soon, to develop their relationship, her relationship with Krishna. So when I was in university, suddenly I got a call. I understood that my sister has been diagnosed with terminal disease, cancer. So now, like, you know, we were all depressed because, you know, what to do? How do we get out of this? But of all the family members, she was like, you know, just still blissfully chanting Hare Krishna. You know, she was chanting Hare Krishna and she was just, you know, just in that, you know, relishable mood. Then what happened is one day, and this was like 6 months ago, I got a call. And one day, and because I was in university, I was not really able to just come and be with my sister. And just 2 months ago, I get a call from my sister telling me how weak she was now, because cancer is a very, very debilitating condition. You know, we have our doctors here, you know it. And we were just discussing with some friends sometime back that the kind of pain that cancer gives is one of the highest pain that, you know, is, imposed on a human being. Like, we had, the chance, the divine chance to be with Stokrishna Prabhu some years back when he was going through this cancer pain. And one day,
very, very nonchalantly, Sto Krishna Prabhu was revealing to me that what is this pain of cancer? Cancer is, the pain is something like a person is taking a sword in his hand, a very sharp sword, and again stabbing him in the back. Again and again, relentlessly. There is no stop. And the thing, and the pain is, with every stab, the pain increases. There is no question of decrease in the pain. That is the kind of pain that cancer patient has to go through. So this young girl, 16-year-old girl, she is undergoing cancer. She is losing weight. She is all bones now. This is the kind of pain that she was going through. And yet through all this, she was chanting Hare Krishna. But a time came when she was no longer able to continue to chant Hare Krishna herself. So she calls up her brother and tells him that, please, you remember that song that we heard 1 year back in that festival of India? Can you please call me up every day and chant for me? Sing this song for me, please. And the brother is like, you know, my sister is my best, is the best friend I have in the world, you know. If my sister is not there, I'm all alone. What to speak about singing? I'm ready to give you my life. What is this? So for every day, for 2 months, this brother would call up his sister, and on the phone, they would sing, you know, he would sing Hare Krishna from 6 to 9 every day. Just see what is the sweetness of that relationship. Just imagine that. And as far as possible, like, she would also respond, and sometimes she would not be able to, and as time progressed, she would not be able to respond. So he was doing this every day, singing Hare Krishna for her. And just a few days back, I just regularly called up my sister. They kept the receiver next to her. I was chanting Hare Krishna. I was singing the songs that I heard in your festival, Maharaj. And suddenly my mother came online and said, that's enough, actually. You don't have to sing anymore, because just a few moments ago when you were singing, she has passed away. And after he said this, he became so much overwhelmed with emotion. He said that, Maharaj, I don't really understand the philosophy, what you're representing, but I do have faith that she was a very, very divine personality. And, you know, she was hearing a divine message, a divine song. And I'm sure that the, you know, destination that you speak about in your lectures, she has achieved it. Can you please, you know, I just want to, I've approached you just for confirmation. And Maharaj very beautifully writes, he says that, I was so much overwhelmed with emotion, and I was so choked up, I could just simply nod my head. And now, like, Maharaj didn't try to stop it. His, like, you know, the tears were flowing down his eyes like torrents. There is no this thing. And then Maharaj said, fine, whatever it is, the children are going to tease me. Okay, I don't mind. I cannot restrain my emotions. And then he expected, now the children are going to say, but then he just, you know, stopped. You know, nobody saying anything. And then when he looked at the children, he found that all of them were also crying. So this thing, you know, just conclude in a few moments, that we were talking about developing a relationship. So when this person was faced with this extraordinary crisis, when she had a few moments still left in the body, you can imagine the kind of pain and the kind of difficulty she had to go through. But she was willing to tolerate that and give her full energy for developing her relationship with Krishna. She was willing to put any effort to catch hold of the dhoti of Srila Prabhupada, to catch hold of the shelter of the holy names. And because in whatever few moments of life she had left, she did it with a full heart, Krishna reciprocated in a way we cannot even imagine. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.